And welcome back to the Cult of the Canon podcast. My host, fuck that up.
I'm Bill.
My guest host tonight will be Bill. Bill, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
It's been quite some time since we've had you on.
Yeah, it has, and it's been almost as long since you've done any uploading at all.
Oh, no, that's not true. That's not true. Granted, I was on vacation for 4 weeks, but I did upload a Christmas-themed podcast before I left, and I did have a podcast ready to go as soon as I got back, so we did have something ready to roll on Monday, last Monday. We should say today that today is Tuesday, January 12th, 2010. This is the second podcast that I'm recording in 2010, but it will probably be the first one uploaded from January, just because I'd like to catch the timeliness of this as it's going on. We're going to talk about Avatar tonight, James Cameron's Avatar, not the Nickelodeon cartoon Avatar, which is a bit confusing, needlessly so. We are not going to cult or can this movie. I don't think that it's a good idea to do that with this movie because it's such a box office phenomenon. It would be like culting or canning like Transformers 2 or something, or The Dark Knight or something like that. It doesn't make sense to do that with this type of movie. Do you understand my logic there, Bill?
I was up until you said Transformers 2.
Well, I mean, a movie that grosses like an ass ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
Or The Dark Knight, or, you know, any of the Spider-Man movies, or whatever. It's a big blockbuster event film. It's not supposed to be. It's not like a movie that failed at the box office. It's not a movie that doesn't appeal to a large number of people. It's a crowd-pleasing film, you know. It's a science fiction spectacular, like the Star Trek film that came out over the summer, for example. You know,
right.
And it's a success, you know, in many areas. It's successful at the box office. It's successful in what it attempts to do with the 3D and the CGI and all that, but we'll get to all that later. We are talking about James Cameron's Avatar. It's been in theaters for about a month now. I saw it on opening night with my girlfriend and two other friends, and we saw it in 3D. I really don't understand why anybody would go and see this movie in 2D. I think it was specifically designed to be shown in 3D. I would advocate seeing it in 3D if that's available to you. I guess that it's not available in all areas, maybe. Like, maybe in smaller towns. Maybe you'd have to go to a large Cineplex. I don't know.
But yeah, I guess so.
Bill, I'm assuming you saw it in 3D.
Yeah, a couple of friends of mine said that it was worthless to see in 3D and in 2D in comparison.
Right, and I would have assumed so as well. And I think that the initial impressions of this movie on the internet were negative because the footage that was shown like at the San Diego Comic-Con was all in 2D, and people were like, well, it just looks like any other CGI. But when you watch it in 3D, it really comes to life, if you understand what I mean. And you just saw this recently, like today.
Yeah, about 4 hours ago, five.
What are your initial impressions of this movie?
It was so much about the visuals that I was able to ignore all the cliche.
Right, and I had the same exact impression. I will say this, as time has gone on, my opinion of this movie has only gone up, whereas a lot of people that I know, since they've first seen it, their opinion of it has gone down a bit. Like, they were thinking about the plot holes and the simplistic story and the cliched one-liners. But as time goes on for me, all I'm thinking about are, like, the marvelous...
Wait, there were good one-liners?
No, the cheesy one-liners.
Oh, okay.
No, I did not say good one. No, the one-liners were all terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They all seem to have come from, like, second-rate Bruce Willis action movies.
Yeah.
Anyway, my opinion of this movie has gone up, and it's because of the technological achievements that this film makes. It is groundbreaking. It is a breakthrough film as far as motion capture and CGI and things of that nature. It's a roller coaster ride. It's not meant to be an A-plus Shakespearean-level script. James Cameron is not capable of writing that level of quality, as we've seen in his other screenplays before. But we know that James Cameron can direct a hell of an action scene. This movie, for me, was a roller coaster ride, right down to the 3D, to the eye-popping 3D. I don't think that it's going to hold up as well on home video. I might be proven wrong by that, and if so, that's fine. But this is definitely, you know, just like you go to Six Flags to ride a roller coaster, you'd go to a movie to see something like Avatar.
Yeah, the CG is of a quality where it's really close to being photorealistic.
Absolutely. I mean, they developed a new technology specifically for this movie. And if you look at the Wikipedia page, which is quite extensive, which is something that we were talking about before we started recording, you can read all about the technology there. I will say this, that if subsequent action-adventure films come out and don't look this good, there is no reason for that. I mean, let me try and simplify what I'm saying. If a big summer blockbuster event movie comes out next summer and doesn't look as good as Avatar, I will be disappointed, because other directors and other producers and Hollywood in general, they need to be taking note of the technology that Cameron used to make this movie, because every movie now needs to step up its game thanks to James Cameron.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, and I think I'm making sense there. This is a movie that he spent years working on. He obviously hasn't directed a feature film since 1997's Titanic, which, as we all know, became the highest-grossing film of all time, not only in the United States but worldwide. It stands at like $1.8 billion. Avatar, yeah, they're saying, could overtake it. I don't think that it will.
No.
Titanic was kind of like...
The story's not that good.
If you've seen Dances with Wolves or The Last Samurai, you've basically seen the story. Very simplistic story. Sam Worthington plays a character by the name of Jake Sully, who is a quadriplegic. He was an ex-Marine, obviously injured in the line of duty. He had a twin brother who was a scientist who died. And because his twin brother died, this gave Jake the chance to kind of take over his brother's legacy, and that was working with this Avatar project on the planet of Pandora, which is a far-off planet, which looks gorgeous, by the way.
It's a far-off moon of a planet.
Moon of a planet, absolutely. And it looks gorgeous, by the way.
Yes.
It looks phenomenal.
The humans are after Smurf berries, which are worth a lot of money.
Referencing the South Park episode?
Mm-hmm. Well,
Jake basically gets to take over what was his brother's avatar. The avatar is a bio-engineered alien body, basically, which he inhabits, and then he's able to kind of befriend the natives. And at first, he's giving information to evil general military overlord guy, played by Stephen Lang. And then he decides, well, their culture...
This is a hard place to be, and you will die, and you gotta steel yourself against the harsh realities of being on this backward world filled with all these natives. And all
that guy,
stuff.
That guy, his performance was pretty good, if only he had, like, the good dialogue.
If only he had lines.
I liked the makeup effect. I liked the scars that he had on his head, and I like his reasoning for not getting the scars fixed when he says something like, this happened on my first day on Pandora, and I wanted to keep it as a reminder. And the scars just contribute to making him look like a badass. Also, he's the only guy I've ever seen in a movie who could drink a cup of coffee and make it look intimidating. So he's got that going for him, too. But basically, Jake Sully learns over time that the natives, he comes to appreciate their culture more than he does his own culture. This puts him at odds with the rest of the humans. And this leads to a gigantic epic battle. It's a very, very, very cliched story. Dialogue is very tired and cliche. But the one thing that elevates this movie into, oh my god, this is awesome, you gotta see it, are the visuals, which I really don't want to undersell the visuals, because they're phenomenal.
You know, while I was watching it, there something occurred to me. I felt the visuals in The Incredible Hulk with the City of God was a much more interesting and visceral visual, because it was totally real. They were just photographing a city where all these buildings were on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Versus Avatar, which you know is CG.
Mm-hmm.
You know, flying mountains is not in real life, and it did cheapen it for me.
Well, there is a fantastical, magical effect to it. You know, I wouldn't argue that with you. You'd be absolutely right there on it. But just like, I go back to my point of that Avatar to me is a roller coaster ride.
Yes.
You know, and you go into it knowing that this is a science fiction fantasy This is a fantastical world, and I'm able to suspend my disbelief for that. I'm not going to criticize the visual effects. I can't. Criticizing the visual effects is ridiculous because they're so groundbreaking to me. And I understand that in a few years, let's say 5 years from now, we might look back at them and say, wow, those were really cheap because time has advanced and technology has advanced. But for like the level of what we got right now, nothing's better than Avatar,
right,
as far as visual effects go.
In comparison, it's probably going to end up being like The Matrix Reloaded with the visuals.
Right.
And yeah, those were fantastic, and now everything looks like clay.
Right, exactly. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100% there. And I would also like to throw out, if you've recently watched the first Lord of the Rings movie, The Fellowship of the Ring, the visual effects in that have not aged well.
Really?
No, not at all. And that movie's less than a decade old. So
I don't think I watched that a second time outside of the theaters.
Let's just say, like, without selling Peter Jackson's achievement short, because I do think that it was a marvelous technological achievement what he did with those films, and then also with King Kong, the visuals in it look very made for TV by our standards, by 2010 mm-hmm. standards. And the same thing might happen to Avatar. You never know. It could be. But again,
he's already confirmed that there's going to be a sequel.
Oh, that was probably.
So they're probably going to upgrade the visuals as it keeps going.
It'll probably take them another 12 years to make it. But just, I don't know, I keep going back to this, but Avatar is not so much a movie for me as it is a technological showcase. It's like when you go to Six Flags, Great America, whatever it's called in your area, and you go on like the space shuttle ride or whatever, and you get in the seat, and it's like 3D, and the seat moves around, and you're in there for like 20 minutes or a half hour. Avatar to me is like the logical progression of that. It's not so much a movie as it is just like a showcase for this awesome eye-popping 3D visuals. And I guess you could say that's a fault in a way.
It is.
Mhm.
Because I don't go for the visuals.
Mhm.
I really go for the story, and what we saw was Disney's Pocahontas rehashed.
Right. Or Dances with Wolves or Last Samurai or any of those movies, and those are very valid criticisms. I'm not gonna sit here and say the story is, you know, The Godfather 2 or something like that. It's definitely not. It's a very simplistic story.
It's not like the story is poorly done. I cheered for the natives as they were going on, and I really wanted to see the bad guy get killed, even though he's this, you know, mono-dimensional bad guy who wants to kill everybody for their Smurf berries.
And even though he is a mono-dimensional character, he was one of my favorite characters in the movie. I would have to say that Sigourney...
Oh, but by the way, the stuff that they're going after is called unobtainium.
Which is a real thing, actually.
Really?
Yes.
That's impossible.
Yes. No, no. No, unobtainium is a real thing. It's a real thing. It's a... a high-tech component that is extremely expensive. It was
wow. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's actually he did not make that up. And I only learned that from listening to the Avatar podcast from the Onion's AV Club, because they were making fun of it, and then one of the guys pointed out it's actually a seriously real thing. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the performances in the film. Outside of Stephen Lang's performance as the bad guy, whose name I think is Mike Miles Quaritch, I believe it is, Giovanni Ribisi gives a pretty good performance as a sleazy corporate type. He doesn't have a whole lot of screen time, nor does he have a whole lot of lines, but he does the best with the material that he's got. I really like Sigourney Weaver's character, Dr. Grace Augustine.
He was probably the most believable, the one I liked the most.
I really like Sigourney Weaver's performance because she's a great actress, number one, and she works well with James Cameron. She's been in a few James Cameron productions. She really seems to get his directing style, And she's done a lot of special effects movies.
Yeah, without a doubt, the sci-fi genre loves her.
Right, exactly. She plays well in that respect. That plays to her strength. We also have Joel David Moore, probably best known from the Dodgeball movie with Vince Vaughn and Ben Stiller, who is playing an anthropologist. He works with Sigourney Weaver's character. He comes to have a few clashes with Jake because Jake has won over the personalities and the natives. But by the end of the movie, he and Jake are friends, and he's fighting with the natives, and he kind of does the right thing. Michelle Rodriguez is in it, who I actually got to meet at the Chicago Comic Con.
Oh, cool.
And she was very nice. And I asked her about Avatar, and she basically, I think that she probably had signed the non-disclosure agreement, but she could basically tell me nothing about Avatar at the time. This was in August, last August, late July, early August. But she was very, very nice person. She plays Michelle Rodriguez. You know, let's not sugarcoat it. You know, she's a tough-talking Latina.
And with a heart of gold.
With a heart of gold, yeah. I mean, she's serviceable, you know.
She's serviceable.
She's not particularly great. She doesn't do as great of a job as Sigourney Weaver. She's not.
Well, she's not given anything.
You're right. No one really is, honestly.
Sigourney Weaver is, Sam Worthington and Zoe Saldana, the main characters.
Right.
They're given enough.
I like Zoe Saldana a lot as Neytiri, actually. I think that she's probably the character with the most depth in the film.
Yes.
And I do think that she's able to play it off very well. I liked her a lot in Star Trek as well.
Mm-hmm.
She seems to be a very talented young woman.
So far, she certainly is. And you're probably getting into Sam Worthington, but I'm going to cut you off.
Go ahead, cut me off.
And say that I really liked what he had to offer. Actually, I'm not sure if it's because of his acting ability or because the character is interesting enough.
My problem with Sam Worthington is that I don't think he's charismatic enough to pull off this role. And he seems to be cast in a lot of big movies. He played Marcus in Terminator Salvation, which was terrible. One of my least favorite movies from 2009. He's in the upcoming Clash of the Titans movie, which looks terrible. The trailer for it is just an abomination. I don't know, Sam Worthington doesn't seem to have... He doesn't really appeal to me. And the thing is that I want to like him, too, because I've read interviews with him before, and a lot of his favorite movies are a lot of my favorite movies. He really likes... he's a big fan of The Road Warrior. He's a big fan of Die Hard. He likes movies like that. He's obviously done a good job of picking his roles in movies because, you know, he's been in a lot of big budget blockbusters, so
right.
Action adventure films, those are the types of films that he likes. I think he's got potential, but I don't know, he just didn't really do much. I will say that I liked him in the Avatar body much more than I liked him as a human being. When he got into the Avatar body and he was able to walk, I really loved that first scene of him getting out of the CAT scan machine or whatever that thing was. He's in the Avatar body and he's like, wow, this is great, and he's running around and they're trying to control him. Like, to me, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
That was a well-done scene. There was a sense of joy.
Well, what else would you do if you got your legs back?
That's true. I think that my favorite scenes in the movie were just, like, Avatar Jake Sully and Neytiri and the other young Na'vi people, like, running around and, like, doing stuff in the jungle, like, taming the flying creatures and...
You mean the visuals?
Yes. I want to go see this again, actually, because I've only seen it once. And I think I might go see it for a second time this weekend.
Watch it again for the visuals.
Yeah.
Don't try and analyze the story.
No, really. I'm not going to. I'm not going to analyze the story. And I'm not going to sell the movie short, all right? The story is dumb, okay? But you're not going to see it for the story. And I feel kind of like a hypocrite for saying that because if the story for Star Trek was dumb, I would have hated Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
If the story for District 9 was dumb, I would have hated District 9. You know... Those are both science fiction films. This is a science fiction film. The story is dumb in Avatar, but I still like Avatar, and I can't really explain why except to say that the visuals are fantastic.
That's pretty much it. And the story that is there is a good one, and you really get to want to be on the side of the Smurfs.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, you know, the visceral happiness when the humans were being killed and slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
I felt bad when the tree fell down.
Right.
You know, I got all those emotions from the movie that I was supposed to.
And I think that it goes without saying that there are a lot of there are a lot of scenes in the film that Cameron does a good job of drawing that emotion out of you because he's a very good director.
Yeah.
In the past, since Titanic, there has been only one film to gross more than $500 million. Obviously, Titanic was one, but I'm saying since then. And that film was The Dark Knight from 08. It grossed like $533 million. There have been a few films that have cracked the $400 million barrier. The first Spider-Man film did. Shrek 2 did. Transformers 2 did. The Phantom Menace did in 99. This film has done extremely well. I don't really know what I want to say about that. It's just that I am just a bit surprised by how well it's doing. And then have you read anything about how much this movie cost to make?
Yeah, like $200 million?
300.
It was a lot.
Yeah. So I guess it has to gross that much. But you know what, though? I bet you that a lot of the money that went into making this movie was money that they spent developing the new technology.
Yeah.
So
The names in it are not particularly big.
Right. The stars.
Yeah, which is shocking.
For a James Cameron movie?
Yeah.
Because he usually employs the... You know, he worked a lot with Schwarzenegger, who... for a good 5-year period was the biggest star on the planet.
Yeah.
He worked with a lot of big name actors, obviously Leonardo DiCaprio.
Well, he wasn't a big name until Titanic.
Yeah, you're right. But man, when Titanic came out, you could not get away from Leo.
It was a phenomenon.
Yeah, he was a brand unto himself.
I do not think Avatar is going to be that phenomenon.
I don't think so either. And I think that that's a testament to the script, as well as the fact that for a large portion of time, the characters are basically playing CGI blue aliens.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely, I would agree with you. What else do you want to bring up about Avatar?
It's already number 2 of all time.
That's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy to me. Worldwide.
Worldwide.
I think that we've seriously exhausted Avatar.
There's not much to talk about Avatar, really.
There really isn't. Everybody agrees that the story is simple and the visuals are great. I mean, we could say that a million times because it's already been said.
Yep. And Sigourney Weaver is great.
I love Sigourney Weaver.
And that is all.
I like Giovanni Ribisi in this as well. I don't think that guy gets enough work.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing about Avatar that didn't make any sense to me...
Yes?
...was... the company that's trying to get this unobtainium...
RDA?
Yeah, whatever. Doesn't matter. The company wants to do this dual diplomacy and blow up the planet crusade.
Yeah.
And puts this guy in charge who just wants to kill everybody.
There's a lot about the story that doesn't make sense.
They didn't try one without the other. There's no logic in that whatsoever.
There are some breathtaking scenes in the movie. I really, really, really love the creatures, the flying creatures. I really love that scene where they're taming them. I would say go and see this in 3D. Don't wait for this to come out on video. I don't think it's going to be nearly as good on Blu-ray as it is in the theater. It's not going to be the same effect.
Yeah.
Avatar is a roller coaster ride. I don't get the hate for this movie. But I also don't get the extreme love and praise for the movie.
Well, it's the reason why people, you know, hate Britney Spears without listening to her music, or hate Halo without ever playing the game. Because it's popular, and we hate things that are popular. We're going to be nonconformists and drink at Denny's at night, all night, like all the other nonconformists.
That attitude is so pervasive, and you're absolutely correct. That attitude sucks, all right? This whole everything sucksism... nothing can be good if people like it attitude that people have is so ridiculously stupid and absurd. You know, just because, like, you listened to a band before they became popular, that doesn't make you cool, okay?
So, it doesn't?
No, it doesn't. So just put on your 3D glasses and enjoy the fucking roller coaster ride, okay?
Or don't, and it's okay.
Nobody ever intended Avatar to be the second coming of Christ. So
maybe James Cameron did.
Maybe James Cameron. He was the only one. Well, As we learned from the 98 Oscars, James Cameron's ego is just about the size of the Titanic. If this movie had failed, if Avatar had failed, then he would have gone down like the Titanic, because this was a $300 million investment for Fox. My recommendation is go see it, and go see it in 3D. Bill?
Oh, yeah, definitely. If you're not going to see it in 3D, don't go see it. If you're going to wait, don't go see it. If you're going to decide to go, I don't know. Finish that for me.
Just go see it. You know, everybody else is doing it, so you should too.
Yeah. You don't want to be a loner, do you? People don't like you if you don't see Avatar.
All right. We are not going to call Turkan this movie. Just I think it would be ridiculous if we were to do that. It doesn't make any sense. But if I would...
I can't, because it won't stand the test of time.
It probably won't. That was about to be my point. It's probably, like, 2 years from now, you're probably going to look back and say, like, wow, Avatar looks like I'm watching a CGI cartoon, because James Cameron will have invented the next crazy, distinct style. So, and hey, what do you know? My name is Earl is on right now. So let's go ahead and wrap up this podcast. I do think that Bill and I would agree when we say go and check out this movie for the visuals alone. The visuals should blow you away. If the visuals don't blow you away, there's probably something wrong with you, and you're probably just a cynical person who went into the movie wanting to hate it in the first place, but that's your
problem. I am a cynic, and I accept that.
And I think this is a totally awesome way to spend a few hours of your time.
It is.
It's definitely worth the money to see it in theaters. But I don't know. Check it out for yourself. Chances are you're probably at least going to get a thrill from the pretty pictures.
Yeah.
Oh boy! So for my co-host Bill, I am your host Zach. Thank you
for
tuning in. Thank you for tuning in to the Culture Canada podcast. You can check out our website at http://culturecanada.blogspot.com. Please feel free to leave us some messages. Please feel free to leave us some movie suggestions. Bill, I just want to say that it was great having you back as a guest host on the podcast.
Well, thank you.
And I do want you to come back soon, so that means we both have to watch more movies.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot, Bill. Take care.
Bye-bye.